can't decide and torn between a romantic, comedy, action, or an indie film to watch for the weekend? Well, well, well. Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast is your ultimate guide to the latest movies. Join us as we dissect the latest on the blockbusters. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Movie Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Movie Podcast, brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com for a limited time only. You'll get 50% off just about any item using the promo code GSMC. Again, that is the promo code GSMC at AdamandEve.com for 50% off just about any item. I am your host of the GSMC Movie Podcast, Ryan Rich, and today I am going to be doing a short review of Kingsman: Golden Circle, along with Mother. Kingsman: Golden Circle is a sequel from the first Kingsman movie, which I unfortunately didn't get around to seeing. Usually for my movie opinions, personally, I feel like if a movie is really good, like if the plot is great, I don't necessarily have to see the first one. I feel that way about a lot of, I feel that way pretty much about every sequel I've seen without seeing the first movie, or even the third movie. I was dragged kicking and screaming to go see Lord of the Rings, Return of the King. I knew nothing about those movies, but that was one of the best movies that I ever saw. And I didn't have to see any of the first ones because I just thought it was dope. Same thing happened with the Star Wars movie. I was taken to go see a Star Wars movie several years ago. I didn't know any backstory, but the movie was so good that, I mean, I was fine with it. This sequel is kind of a little bit of a different story. The cast is great. I mean, you got Taron Egerton. He's the star. He plays Eggsy. You got Channing Tatum, Colin Firth, Halle Berry, Julianne Moore, Elton John, Jeff Bridges. You also have Pedro Pascal. If you don't know who Pedro Pascal is, he is the star of Narcos. That's on Netflix right now. He's the star of the third season. He was in the first two seasons, but he went ahead and took the reins of the show in the third season. This movie was directed by Matt Vaughn. He also directed the first one. It's 2 hours long. It's produced by TSG Entertainment and 20th Century Fox. The movie did really good in the box office. The budget for it was $104 million, and they made $378 million on it. I want to say the one thing that I really, really, that I genuinely enjoyed about this movie were the camera angles. And talking to other people that saw the first movie, they said that the director used those same camera angles in the first movie, which is what was really eye-opening about the experience. The movie starts off with a nice, like, a kind of pays a little bit of homage to a James Bond type of theme where they have an incredible car chase. It starts off with Eggsy. He's actually the head of the Kingsmen now, since the first one, after they basically saved the world from a diabolical genius that wanted to take over the world. And he ends up being attacked by an enemy from the last movie whose name is Charlie, who he thought was dead. Him and Charlie get into like a fight while they're driving a car, which it's a pretty awesome car chase. I would say the opening scene really reminds me of, James Bond Quantum Solace, how that one opened up with the car chase. The whole movie in a way kind of pays homage to James Bond, but more, I guess I want to say, more futuristic, modern, younger, like more of a satire of James Bond, because they have gadgets, and the star is clever. He has jokes. He has a handsome appeal, really, really sharp, got the whole European style thing going for him. So the movie does pay a really, really good homage to James Bond while still being original within itself. Kind of like it's an interesting cross between maybe between James Bond and and Austin Powers, which is a very odd combination when you talk about the European aspects of it, and some of them being funny and some of them being serious. You cross Austin Powers with a James Bond movie, then I'm going to say this is pretty much what you have. The plot, again, is since Eggsy has taken over the Kingsman organization after the world has been saved, all is well. Until he's approached by Charlie, who is working for an evil organization that is run by Julianne Moore's character from a remote island. She is, I guess, a caricature of a housewife who was living in the 50s on this island, and she's basically responsible for providing the whole globe marijuana drugs, basically. And her mafia is basically her organized crime syndicate is called the Golden Circle. That's where you get the Golden Circle from. What ends up happening is Charlie, who ends up fighting Eggsy, and Eggsy gets away. Charlie has this bionic arm, and this arm gets the information of where all the Kingsmen live at. And Julianne Moore basically does a massive attack on the Kingsman organization. So luckily Eggsy isn't at home when this happens, and he escapes the whole ordeal. So the Kingsman Europe arc is gone, completely just gone, except for Eggsy. And Merlin, the assistant from the last movie. Basically, Eggsy and Merlin find out they have to contact their American counterparts known as the Statesmen, which end up being Pedro Pascal and Channing Tatum. This movie is really humorous because of the fun they poke at America. They have this massive, ongoing, incredible stereotype of cowboys, and it's pretty funny. Channing Tatum and Pedro Pascal, they do a great job. Channing Tatum is more or less the comic relief, and like he plays Channing Tatum in the movie, and Pedro Pascal is he's basically a cowboy action hero, a far cry from his Narcos character, a very, very far cry. Basically, what ends up happening is Pedro Pascal and Channing Tatum, they team up with Eggsy and Merlin and to basically stop Julianne Moore from her diabolical plan to take over the world, which is a pretty good diabolical plan. I think that part of the story, that part of the plot is really good as far as what she's trying to do to take control of everyone on the planet. Jeff Bridges plays the head of the Statesman. He plays the head of the Statesman. So he's another cowboy. Jeff Bridges playing a cowboy. Surprise, surprise. And Halle Berry she's their gadget person. She's their Apple genius, if you will. She's basically in charge of gadgets, and she's their tech support. There's a few twists in the movie. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. I would give it, I'd probably watch it again on DVD. I didn't see the first one. I don't feel like I needed to see the first one to understand the plot. I got it for the most part. My opinion would be, I would give it probably a 3 out of 5, just because for my personal opinion of an action movie, it was a little too goofy. The fight scenes were great, though. I mean, as far as the camera angles, the action, the guns, the way, just the acting was pretty solid. The movie was just a little bit on the goofy side. It was in, like, at one point, that one point, well, not at one point, Julianne Moore has kidnapped Elton John. And Elton John is her musical slave on this island that she's basically secluded herself on. And he has to play the piano for them all the time. At one point in the movie, Elton John, he rebels against the whole system. He's dressed like a peacock and he goes on a rampage, like just destroying henchmen. Just suddenly he knows, suddenly he's a mixed martial artist and he just starts destroying henchmen while he's dressed like a peacock and wearing these incredibly high, high heels. Now, after talking to other people that did see the first one and saw this one, they felt that the first one was a little bit better just because of the storyline. And there were, from what I gather, again, I didn't see the first one, but from what I gather, the first one had less jokes than the second one. I mean, to me, even me just seeing the second one, to me, it was a little bit goofy. It was funny though. There were some very funny parts. There were some serious parts. There is a plot twist that people that did see the first one definitely would enjoy. Me being as someone that I would say enjoys a solid movie, there was a plot twist that I enjoyed. I mean, because there's some things that happen in the movie that make you say, "Well, why would that person do that? That's not very good acting, or that's wasn't written very well." Then when you realize that, okay, well, something else is happening, then suddenly, you know, you feel like, okay, I guess they wrote that pretty well. So my opinion for it would definitely be, I would say I would give it a 3 out of 5. I would watch it again if it was on TV at my house. Should you go see it? Yes, I think you should go see it. Should you go see the first one? I believe you should go see the first one, because everyone I talked to that I saw both, they recommend the first one over the second one, even though they say the second one was okay. They say the first one was great. So when I get some time, I probably will go watch the first one. I think it'd be really interesting to see the contrast between the two, because I believe that there are some huge gaping differences from what people have described to me. It's not even really that the second one was, I'm not going to say it was too goofy for me. Even though it was, I mean, I've watched goofy movies. I mean, I've seen a ton of goofy action movies. I mean, Pineapple Express is goofy, but it's a solid movie. I think what happened with this movie, from my personal opinion, was there was so much stuff going on. Even the cast I read to you, it sounds like, when you put that many people inside of a movie, it sounds like I'm describing like Crash Part 2 or something, right? I mean, we've got Channing Tatum, Jeff Bridges, Halle Berry, Colin Firth, Elton John. When you list that many people, you think it's going to be, you would imagine a lot of stuff is going to go on, or nothing's going to happen. Like, it's going to be either kind of crashy, like everything's going to happen, or it would be kind of sad and monster ball-y, where not a lot happens. It's just kind of sad and you know, just not very enjoyable for the family. So that's my take on it. I recommend you probably go see it this weekend if you do find some time. It is a smooth 2 hours, so I would recommend you get some nachos, get enough popcorn, get a nice enough drink that you don't have to get up during this movie. But the 2 hours does go by pretty fast. It's not an agonizing 2 hours. I have sat through movies that I thought were very, very bad, and I didn't leave just because I've never walked out on a movie. Usually if I set time to go to a movie, I have a lot of time that day. I'll go see a movie if I have like 5 hours of nothing to do. So I would never walk out of a movie because that time has already been allotted. Like, I already paid for the nachos, I've already paid for the popcorn, I'm already invested. So I don't tend to walk out. It's not really my thing. I'm not saying I'd walk out of this one. I'm just saying that I don't walk out of movies. So that's been my take on Kingsman: Golden Circle. My next review is going to be Mother starring Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. First, we're going to pay some bills, though. And when we get back, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys my take on Mother. Be right back. Thanks. Are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com for a limited time only. You'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual we can't mention it on the podcast. And to top it all off, they'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, they're not kidding. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type GSMC for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. That's just so much free. Just use offer code GSMC at adamandeve.com. That's GSMC at adamandeve.com. Welcome to the GSM Movie Podcast, brought to you by AdamandEve.com. Go to AdamandEve.com for a limited time only. You'll get 50% off just about any item using promo code GSMC. That's GSMC promo code at AdamandEve.com. This is the GSM Movie Podcast with Brian Rich. We just got done wrapping up Kingsman: Golden Circle. Hopefully you guys go see that and enjoy it. The second film I'll be reviewing today, the psychological horror film called Mother, with an exclamation mark at the end. This is directed by Darren Aronofsky, starring Jennifer Lawrence, Javier Bardem, Ed Harris, and Michelle Pfeiffer. Movie runs 121 minutes, so 2 hours. The budget was $30 million, and the box office was $43 million. So it may sound like, it doesn't sound like, it didn't do very well in the theater, but this was a film festival film that got incredibly popular after the film festival. The story, again, it's a psychological horror film. I'm not going to give out any spoilers in this. Interestingly, the star of the movie, Jennifer Lawrence, said that before you go see this movie, you should read about it or know what it's about before going into it. Me personally, I'm never going to do that before going to go see a movie. I mean, one of my really good friends, he told me that he accidentally read a review for Snowman, the serial killer film that's out with Michael Fassbender. And he said that after reading that review, he wants nothing to do with the movie, which is unfortunate, you know, because you plan to go see something, you get a review, and then they tell you not to go see it, or they spoil it for you. So it's either one of two things, right? Like someone does a review and tells you why the movie is terrible, and they give you a whole bunch of spoilers as to why it's terrible, or you want to go see the movie, and they tell you all the spoilers. So being that this is a psychological horror film, even if it was a psychological thriller, anything being psychological, I'm not going to give away anything that's going to mess up this movie for you. I just recommend you see it. I think it's really good. I love these type of movies where you turn them on, you don't know what's going to happen. You have no idea what's going to happen. You have no idea what the ending is going to be. And it's basically just a strange roller coaster throughout. Not an actual roller coaster. Nothing's an actual roller coaster other than a roller coaster. But not a figurative roller coaster that you would imagine that's going up and down. It's having all these turns and twists. But a roller coaster that's, how would I say? Kind of like Disneyland when you go on Space Mountain and it's just in the dark and you have no idea what's happening. Kind of like that. there's water, but it's dark. You don't know what's happening. You're going through tubes. You can't see anything. It's kind of like Space Mountain. That's what I'm gonna compare it to. Except to go see this movie, you don't have to wait in line like you do at Disneyland for Space Mountain. I think the Space Mountain line is like 4 or 5 hours or something like that. If you buy the Disneyland pass, I think that it's like 2 hours. But I digress. This isn't about Disneyland. This is about psychological horror. No pun intended. So Javier Bardem plays a poet who has a writer's block. And that's why him and his wife, Jennifer Lawrence, are out in, they're out in the cabin. They're out like in a secluded area, you know, like that common cliche where writers have to get out and go somewhere to write, which isn't necessarily a cliche, because when I write, I like to go downstairs to my den, because I don't have a cabin that's out in the woods somewhere. And if I did have a cabin that was out in the woods, I think it would take me longer to drive there than it actually would to just sit down and write. So they're out in a cabin, not a cabin, but it's like, it's an older house. Like it's an older Victorian style octagon house that you would see probably just out in like a spooky house that would be in the middle of nowhere, basically. And they're there. He has this intense writer's block and just can't seem to get anything done. He ends up getting a guest, which is Ed Harris. And Ed Harris shows up and he is a professor and he needs a place to stay. Javier Bardem being hospitable, he says, oh, of course you can stay here. It's no problem at all. Of course you can stay. And he stays the night and he's getting sick, and him and Javier Bardem are drinking, and they're doing what probably two middle-aged men would do, all hanging out and just being in the middle of nowhere and just trying to relax and have a good time, smoking some cigars, chilling. And the next morning, Michelle Pfeiffer shows up, and Michelle Pfeiffer says, "Is my husband here?" And Jennifer Lawrence is kind of confused, like, well, why is a wife showing up, like, what's happening? And Javier Bardem says, oh, don't worry about it, it's okay. And then the wife is there and they're in the home, and Michelle Pfeiffer is oddly rude to Jennifer Lawrence in her home, and it's kind of cringeworthy. It makes you wonder what's happening. They don't respect her home in a way where they're running over her and using her for, and Javier Bardem isn't necessarily standing up for her or taking pride in the home. So it's an interesting dynamic between the two guests and the husband, Javier Bardem, and the wife, Jennifer Lawrence. So they're there, they're eating dinner. Michelle Pfeiffer asks just interesting questions. Like they end up having a conversation about children, and she just asks probing questions you probably wouldn't even ask a friend. Like, so why don't you want kids? Or are you even trying to have kids? And Jennifer Lawrence is incredibly turned off. Then the next day, one of their kids show up at the house, and one of their kids show up and he's very, very upset with his father. And then another kid shows up, and it's really interesting the way all these people keep showing up at the home and the dynamic between all of them as it relates to the couple, Jennifer Lawrence and Javier Bardem. Javier Bardem in the movie is known as the poet. The dynamic between everyone is just, it's really shocking, honestly, because some terrible things happen in the movie, and a lot of it ends up being overlooked by everyone except for Jennifer Lawrence and a couple others, which is probably why they recommend reading what type of entities these particular individuals represent before going into the movie. However, I'm just not that way. I like to be surprised and deceived when it comes to movies, because I don't want to be deceived in real life or surprised. Do I want someone to rear end me at a stop sign? No. Do I want to be surprised in a movie? Absolutely. So if you're the type of person that likes to open presents on the 25th, go see the movie. If you're the type of person that likes to open presents on the 24th, because you can't wait for the 25th and you can't put out milk and cookies for people, then go ahead and read about the movie first. Either way, I'd recommend seeing it. I think it's great. Jennifer Lawrence, if you've watched her in any movies in the last 5 years, you would know that she's stellar. She does an award-winning job. Javier Bardem, I've been a fan since No Country for Old Men. He does a great job at having that expression and that deadpan look sometimes. Michelle Pfeiffer, what more can we say about her? Since Scarface, she's been a fan of I've been a fan of hers. And Ed Harris, he's Ed Harris at his best. Ever since Glengarry Glen Ross, he's got that humorous kind of stern look and action about him. It's great. It's great. I'll definitely recommend this movie. Again, I will probably say I'd give it a 4 out of 5 because I think it's a little bit too long. However, I might feel differently about this after I actually watch the movie again, because I think that once I know, now that I've read about it and I know the particular entities that the people represent within the movie, I think 2 hours is probably the perfect amount of time for me to watch it and to actually absorb what's happening from all of the characters. That's why I think it probably didn't do well at the box office, because the word didn't spread well. And I believe some viewers were like, hey, I'm going to go see the new Jennifer Lawrence movie. And they thought it was going to be like Hunger Games, where it has a meaning, but it's not incredibly esoteric, where it's like, oh my God, I have to read to understand this. No, you watch Hunger Games and you get it. It's got political undertones, but it's not so difficult to understand where you should like read a book about it before going to go see it. Or a Jennifer Lawrence movie like American Hustle, where it's a solid movie. And she does a stellar job, and people want to see her act and see a story they can understand. I think this movie, I've seen a lot of Jennifer Lawrence, and I would say this is probably her one of her best performances. It seemed very, really, genuinely emotionally draining. Like this acting for this movie and playing that part and probably finding that depth inside of her talent had to be emotionally draining. And I could only imagine that she got some really, really good sleep after this film was done. And I've always been a massive fan as her acting has gotten just better and better and better. Probably one of her most underrated performances would be Silver Linings Playbook, which isn't talked about enough. And she did an incredible job in that as well. Also want to tip my hat to Javier Bardem. He went through a lot of different emotional phases during that film. He has to go. It's a really, really interesting insight before you know what the movie's about. Just watching someone that's in a creative process while in a relationship. So that's the shallow part of the movie. Like if you don't know what it's about yet, when you first get into, you're like, oh, you start to think about what it could possibly represent. You're like, wow, that's incredible. Like I've never thought about that in that way. Then when you read what it's actually about, you're like, oh, that's why these horrible things are happening. Cause it's much more than someone that's a creative person inside of a relationship. It's way deeper than that. So I recommend you guys go see it. I'm nitpicking by giving it a 4 out of 5. Like everything's 2 hours. Like what isn't 2 hours? It seems like getting a car wash is 2 hours. I'm just saying it probably makes sense being 2 hours after I go and see it again. That's all. Cause when all these horrible things are happening, you're like wondering why in a way. And you're like, wow, did that really have to happen that way? And then once you like read about it and you watch, you're like, okay, I get it. That had to be written that way. Makes complete sense. I thank you for joining me for the GSM Movie Podcast. On my next review, I'm going to go ahead and give you guys Saw. Saw just came back. It just came back about 2 weeks ago. So the Saw series is back. I watched all of those movies, even when they got really diluted and people were, the guy was dead but wasn't dead but leaving tapes and someone else is doing the murders for him. So I got really into it a while ago. I forgot everything that's happened. So I'm probably going to end up binge watching all of them and then going to go see the new Saw. I also want to go see The Snowman, the serial killer movie. I'm going to give you guys a review on that. So be looking forward to it. I thank you for joining me, Ryan Rich, on the GSMC Movie Podcast. Take care.